Now, I know there are quite a few amongst you who like to read up the Bible passage before we get to it. Come in early and you do that. So you didn't get the references today because there's so many of them. So hear the word of God as it's written in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, reading extracts with reference to Peter. The account of Peter's association with the Lord begins in chapter 4, reading from verse 18. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers called Peter and Andrew throwing a net into the water. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. In chapter 8, verse 14, Peter witnesses the power of Jesus' healing ministry in a very personal way. When Jesus arrived at Peter's house, Peter's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. But when Jesus touched her hand, the fever left her. In chapter 14, Peter shows his bravery and his trust in the Lord. The disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong winds and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him, saying, "You have so little faith. Why did you doubt me?" In chapter 16, Peter shows that he knows who Jesus really is. Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." Just a few verses later, Jesus tells his disciples that he must suffer and die. Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him, saying such things. "Heaven forbid, Lord," he said. "This will never happen to you." Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me." In chapter 26, after they have eaten the Lord's Supper, Jesus told the disciples, "Tonight, all of you will desert me." Peter declared, "Even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, Peter. This very night, before the cock crows, you will deny 3 times that you even know me." "No," Peter insisted, "even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." To God be the glory and the praise in the reading of his word. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. Saint Peter was standing before the pearly gates when a man approached him. "What's your name?" Peter asked. You didn't know he was from Glasgow, did you? The man replied, "John Smith." Peter looked up his name in the Book of Life and with a frown on his face said to the man, "You don't seem to have done much in your life.
There's not much a record of you. You know, it takes an awful lot to get into heaven. Did you ever do anything noteworthy in your life? Well, the man replies, this one time I ran into a dozen hell's angels, and they were harassing a young lady. She was really scared, so I stepped in and I punched the biggest biker right on the nose and told all the rest to leave her alone. Whoa, that's really impressive, says Peter, scanning the pages of the Book of Life. And he says, when did this happen? And looking at his watch, the man replies, about 5 minutes ago. Today is the first in a series of sermons looking at biblical characters. And we begin this morning with Peter. Peter is by far the best known of the disciples of Jesus, often portrayed as the keeper of the keys to the pearly gates. Peter became a giant among men as far as faith is concerned. And I stand in awe of his willingness to do things like step out of the boat and walk on water at the invitation of Jesus. Who here would have that courage? But I like a lot more about Peter than just his deep faith. I like his humanity. He gets it wrong so often that his journey of faith is like a roller coaster at times. Peter may have walked on water, but he was also one of the ones most likely to fall asleep in the middle of worship. In fact, he did just that. Jesus, on the night that he was arrested, asked Peter to pray while he waited on the arrival of Judas the betrayer. And Peter fell asleep, not once, not twice, but three times. How many of you have ever fallen asleep in church? Now, be honest. Most people have, at least once. And I have to confess that it happened to me at least twice at this year's General Assembly. It reminds me of a thing I found out about the early days of the Pilgrims to America. Churches in New England and Maryland had a person they called a tithing man. This was a parish officer elected annually to preserve good honour in the church during divine worship, to make complaint of any disorderly conduct, and to enforce the observance of the Sabbath. His job was to keep people awake during the sermons, which usually lasted about 2 to 3 hours, Alistair. And he did this by using a long pole tipped with a brass knocker at one end to rap the sleeping men. And the other end was tipped with a rabbit's foot for the ladies. And I would be happy to offer that job today to anyone interested. See me afterwards. People have fallen asleep in church for years and years. Sometimes they fall asleep because they got up too early or they went to bed too late. Sometimes it's because the sermon's boring or because they've worked hard all week and they just can't help themselves. But then there are other times. Times when people fall asleep with their eyes wide open. Peter was one of those guys. He often had his eyes wide open, and yet he couldn't help himself putting his foot in it. In Matthew 16, for example, no sooner has Peter declared that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, that he then falls asleep to what Jesus was saying next. Jesus goes on to teach the disciples about his death, his burial and resurrection. But somewhere along the line, Peter fell asleep to what Jesus was saying. Heaven forbid, Lord, he said, that this will ever happen to you. Peter may have listened to the words that Jesus was saying, but he was asleep to their understanding. He knew Jesus was the Messiah, but he did not know what that meant. Jesus had to wake him from his spiritual darkness. And he says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Talk about going from hero to zero. Imagine being called Satan by Jesus. How low can you go? Peter was a force to be reckoned with. Peter might not have been the type to start a fight, but he could certainly finish one. Peter thought he could handle anything. When Jesus said he was going to be betrayed by all the other disciples, or all the disciples, Peter responded by saying, "Others might, but not me. Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And Jesus gives him a message that will later wake him from his spiritual sleep. "I tell you, before the rooster crows tonight, you'll deny me three times." For centuries, the sound of a rooster crowing at the first light of dawn has served to wake people up from the depths of their night's sleep. Jesus wants Peter to wake up to the truth of his spiritual darkness. When Jesus was arrested, Peter pulled his sword and whacked off the ear of one of the temple guards. No one dared to touch Jesus with him around. He could handle anything or anyone. Peter was sure of himself, sure of his own strength, and he believed there was nothing he could not face, nothing he couldn't handle. But he was wrong. He couldn't handle himself. He couldn't deal with the beast within himself. Instead of submitting to the will of God, he wanted to control the situation by force. And Peter's not the only person to ever have had this problem. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12 warns us. It says, "If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall." That's a wake-up call to you and I, to all believers. We're not as big and smart and powerful as we might think we are. We can't handle everything on our own. Too many Christians fall into the Sunday-only mindset. They put in their hour and a bit in worship, and then they leave God at the door of the church as they exit. And during the week, they make decisions without him. They face their challenges and their difficulties without him. They might do this deliberately and with forethought, or they might do it because they don't want to bother God, because they're big men and big women, and they don't need God to sort out their daily lives. But even when we do include God in our daily lives, we sometimes forget to include God in our choices. I admit to you that I don't always ask God's guidance about the things when I should. I don't always pray as often as I might. And if it happens to me, I'm pretty sure it happens to you. We need to wake up to the fact that without God's presence within us, we're not going to be able to handle the deepest difficulties that will come into our lives. Last week I spoke to you about Christ's peace, a gift freely given by Jesus that this world cannot give. To receive that peace, we need to wake up to the truth about ourselves and about Jesus. That was what Jesus was doing when he tells Peter that he would deny Jesus three times before the rooster crowed. Peter, he says, "My friend, wake up. Wake up. just in case Andy's sleeping. Wake up and realize you aren't as big and as bad and as brainy as you think you are, because there's someone out there just waiting to take you down. Someone you can't beat. Someone you can't handle. Someone who's bigger, more devious and more powerful than you are. And his name is Satan. In Luke 22, verse 31, Jesus warns his friend. He says, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. To sift each of you like wheat." That means that Satan has asked to be allowed to test Peter and the rest of the disciples to the extreme, a testing that he continues to do to Christ's followers today, to you and to me. Former heavyweight boxer James Quick Tillis, who was the first boxer to go the distance with Mike Tyson, recalled his first day in Chicago after his arrival from Tulsa. He said, "I got off the bus with two cardboard suitcases under my arms. I stepped in front of the Sears Tower. I put my suitcases down and I looked up at the tower and I said to myself, I'm going to conquer Chicago." And when he looked down, his suitcases were gone. He was a heavyweight boxer. A big, bad, scary kind of man. And he was going to conquer Chicago. But somebody took all that he owned away from him. "Wake up," says Jesus. "Take heed lest you fall." Peter needed to know, and we need to know, there are forces in this world that we can't overcome on our own. Just as Peter denies Jesus the third time, the sound of the rooster crowing fills the morning air, and he looks up to see the tortured and beaten face of Christ staring straight at him. Peter is condemned in his heart. He could not go any lower as Jesus, his friend, is led to the cross, crucified, buried in a borrowed tomb. But days later, Peter encounters the risen Lord, returned from the grave, alive and well. And when Jesus takes Peter aside and asks him three times, "Do you love me?" Peter is transformed in his reply. "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus knew at that point that Peter did indeed love him with all his heart and soul. And Jesus also knew that Peter would need that love to go forward. A few days later, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the whole world, Peter preached about the love of God, and over 3,000 people accepted Jesus into their hearts. From zero to hero, Jesus transforms. Jesus knew that Satan would tempt and test Peter, and he wanted Peter to know in his heart that Jesus was in control at all times and in all places. And he has that same message for you this morning. So when your life turns sour, when you're in over your head, when everything you thought you had under control suddenly collapses, Jesus wants you to remember this truth. He is in control. Why does a rooster crow in the morning? for one basic reason. The sun has risen, and there's a new day dawning. May the love of Christ dawn into your heart this morning, for his name's sake. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, we sometimes think we can deal with everything. We sometimes think we can deal with nothing. Sometimes we're in the middle. Lord, no matter where we are, you are there with us. No matter what we face, you can overcome it. No matter how afraid we are, you can give us the strength we need. Just as you changed the life of Peter and all the other disciples and transformed them into the leaders of the church on whom Jesus built everything that we now have. Lord, you can do the same for us. If only we would love you the way that Peter eventually did. So Lord, shine within us. Be there for us. And may we have the courage to turn to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.